fun and laughter on a summer holiday. No more worries for me or you for a week or two. We're going where the sun shines brightly. We're going where the sea is blue. We've seen it in the movies. Now let's see if it's true. Everybody has a summer holiday, doing things they always wanted to. So we're going on a summer holiday to make our dreams come true.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, and I hope you're all well on this very unusual day today. Welcome to worship. As we gather for morning worship in the house of our Lord Jesus, we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We give a very warm welcome to any visitors here with us today. We hope you will enjoy our very special holiday Sunday. We welcome back Pat, who's been in hospital. Lovely to see you again, Pat. And may you continue to enjoy good health. Now, we've got a very special day on the 11th of this month, and we've got between 1 and 5 p.m. a charity tea party at Phil Minot's home in aid of breast cancer. And you'll find more details in Connect. And now I have gracious a pleasure to pass you on to our lay pioneer who's worked so hard for today, Charmaine, otherwise known as Shan. Thank you, Shan.
Morning. Can you hear me? Hello. Hello. Nice to see you. To welcome to Haverhill on Sea. Honestly, I thought when I was out in the rain yesterday, I thought, oh my word, they're going to be coming up in their boats. Well, if you haven't worked it out already, this is a holiday themed day. I think we all need a little bit of a break, a little bit of a lift. And so that's what the whole thing will be about today, is resting, holidaying, resting, holidaying. So I'm going to throw the doors straight open and start asking you some questions. Has anyone had a holiday so far this year? And don't leave me standing. Roger.
A very dull week at Painter at Sheringham.
Very dull week at Sheringham. Did everybody hear that? I don't think, did that come through on here? Yeah. So what happened?
It was overcast most of the time, not too warm.
No.
No.
Not good.
No.
Okay. Oh, that's not how I wanted to start. That's not how I wanted to start. Anybody else want to tell me about a holiday? Ooh.
We went to Fordingbridge with Roger and Indra Arrowsmith.
Oh, okay. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
This was offered to Roger and Indra. It was their nephew's wooden accommodation, okay. And it was a struggle for Roger very
much.
Yeah,
I'm sure it was.
Terrible.
I'm sure it was.
But we had, we had a little break and we were able to enjoy the weather.
Excellent. Anybody else? Oh, loads. Oh. Oh.
Yeah, went to Cromer for a week in June, the hottest day of the year, and I burnt my sun. My toes got sunburned.
Your toes got, ow. Yeah. Ow. But did you enjoy being sunburned?
It was 30 degrees. It was wonderful.
Oh, I'm so pleased. Just what you needed.
Pardon?
Was it just what you needed?
Just what we needed, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, we rented a little cottage in Hunbury, in Cheshire, which was very close to my daughter Ellie. So that was the first time for quite a long time we actually spent some time together. And it was a lovely warm week.
Oh,
it was wonderful.
So really special then.
It was very special.
Well, when was the last time you saw Ellie?
The previous August.
Yeah.
So it was a long
Excellent.
Time.
Excellent. Yeah. Who else? I did see another hand. Oh, hello.
We had a week in Southsea, and during that time we visited the Portsmouth Maritime Museum and saw the Trafalgar and the Mary Rose, which was amazing.
Oh, have you been there before?
Just once before we saw the Mary Rose, but they were still spraying her, but now it has special building.
Is she fully restored now?
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
Yeah, really interesting.
Brilliant. Yeah. Anybody else? What about favourite places that people have been? Now, I know there's quite a few long-distance travellers here. Where might your favourite place be that you've travelled at any time? Woo.
One of my one of my favourite holidays was a celebration for a special birthday of mine, and my daughter Dawn, she treated me to a climb up Sydney Bridge in Australia, and it was absolutely wonderful to do that, and we wished that we could do it again, but I think it's gone past us now, but we had a lovely, lovely time.
Fantastic. That's lovely. Any other far-flung places that people might have been, they want to talk about? I can't see when I turn around. Anybody? Or are we done? Now, has anyone planned to have a rest this summer? That's an entirely different question, isn't it? I think most of the mothers who've ever packed know there's a huge difference between having a holiday and having a rest. So we'll be looking at that. So let's start with some prayers, please. Dear Lord, here we are once more, gathering to worship you and thank you for everything you do for us every day. Jesus said to his disciples, "Come away and rest a while. Come into the Lord's presence now, away from the heavy weight and stresses of our daily lives. Come with open arms and receive the rest that Jesus offers to restore our souls and equip us for whatever comes next. Amen." Our first song is a toe tapper. Feel free to stand up, wave your arms, do whatever you like. You can, of course, sing, yes, but you have to put your mask on. And it is Raise a Hallelujah. I'm going to now read from Psalm 121. A song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. Amen. Well, this psalm is sometimes referred to as the traveller's prayer. And it's thought that it was one of those many songs, the psalms, that were written by the pilgrims who were climbing the mountains to reach Jerusalem. Did you pick up the imagery which builds this picture of a journey? It tells us that God is with us on every journey and offers us protection, just like shade does from the sun when it's too hot, although with weather like this, it's hard to imagine, isn't it? We are reminded that God guards us and protects us just as much when we come home as when we are away. And it explores the rhythm of our lives and the importance of balancing rest with being on the move. And that's what we're going to be exploring today, that rhythm of rushing and resting, rushing and resting. And how we can try to find a holiday space just for ourselves. Now, at the beginning, obviously, I was chit-chatting with others about going on holiday. But holidays don't always guarantee rest or refreshment, do they? Often we need a holiday when we get back from holiday. And I think, especially in these pandemic days, never knowing if we're going to have to change our plans right up to the last minute. And of course, I'm also thinking about the dreaded ping. Well, hopefully that's easing off. And staycations are a thing. I think it's just a posh way of just saying I'm not going anywhere. But travelling in our own country is not a cheap option, is it? Even under normal circumstances. And now it seems that if you try to rent somewhere, it's at least twice the price as it was last year. Everywhere is also booked up. I think if you wanted to go to Cornwall, you're out of luck. Any chance of a last-minute break are pretty thin now. When my children were young, I remember vividly the huge stresses of finding good people to look after them when I was at work, when I had to work through the school holidays. I'm really embarrassed to say this, but at the time, I remember being jealous of other mothers who got the opportunity to stay with their children throughout the year. It seemed like a luxury to me at the time, but obviously that was very biased. I had no choice to work, and I really was jealous of those other mothers. Or conversely, the other side of the same story was perhaps when I had an upcoming holiday, school holiday, and on this occasion, I was going to be at home with the children. I would get the dread, that sense of dread. What am I going to do with them? What am I going to do to stop them getting bored within 5 minutes? That's not going to render myself bankrupt. Or packing to go away somewhere. Thinking of every possible situation that could possibly arrive. And I doubt there's a single parent in the room who doesn't recognise this. And you're packing for rain, shine, cowpole, plasters, wet suits, dry suits, special toys, enough snacks to feed an army, and that constant fear of never letting your offspring out of your sight. If you've got two or more, they're always in different directions. And I don't know if anyone else can sympathise with this one. I remember that time when I was just so tired, I would go to the loo to have a little cry, just so I could be on my own. Mummy, knocking on the door. Are you there, Mummy? I think quite a few of us could see a couple of people laughing. Yeah, you got that. And of course, the other thing is the cost. The cost of holidays is a huge issue. And far too many families, we all know families in our town who have no money left in the pot and are literally living hand to mouth. They may have been just getting through on furlough, but as furlough's being taken away, many have now lost their jobs. And to be honest, those who are seeking jobs might just as well go mining for gold, unless they want to work in the hospitality industry. They need a holiday too. but they're not really likely to get one. You may be one of the many in healthcare and have been in the healthcare situation throughout the last dreadful 18 months, unable to have had any holiday at all. And the possibility of a holiday to come might be completely out of the question. So what can we do? How can we carve out a space where we can switch off long enough to feel the benefit? I'm going to take a break now for the second song, which is What a Beautiful Name. Please stand if you are able. In a moment, we're going to hear two separated sets of verses from the chapter of Mark. And these texts are often overlooked because they're connecting verses between two more prominent stories that we know well. If you like, you can think of them as the butter between two slices of bread. Well, the Sea of Galilee, of course, is rather like a Scottish loch. If you had access to a boat and biblical times, many people would have done, it would be quite easy to set off and sail in different directions. Because it's very hilly and it's rugged, anyone close enough to the shore could have a really good view of what progress you're making as you're going off in your boat. And they could have a really good educated guess where you're going to land. And this is exactly what happened when Jesus took his disciples away to find somewhere to rest. Angela is now going to come with these readings from Mark chapter 6. Verses 30 to 34, and then 53 to 56.
The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. After they had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. They brought the boat to shore and climbed out. The people recognized Jesus at once, and they ran throughout the whole area, carrying sick people on mats to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he went, in villages, cities, or the countryside, they brought the sick out to the marketplaces. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were healed. Amen.
Thank you, Angela. Thank you. I wonder what it must have been like for those apostles, with all that rushing from pillar to post, with little chance to rest or eat, for what must have been days, if not weeks. No doubt they were being constantly jostled by the excited crowd who wanted to see this Jesus. This Jesus who came to heal. Well, we can't ever really know, but we can try. We're going to watch now and listen to a few suggested words that one exhausted disciple might well have said. And there will be a few moments at the end where you can consider her testimony and pray silently.
We had a fantastic time telling people all the things that Jesus had been teaching us. We were even able to heal people ourselves. And the buzz of excitement about everything just got better and better. And you can imagine the noise when we all got back to where Jesus was. All of us trying to tell us our bit of news and trying to get his approval and to find out what had happened to the others. And there were lots of other people arriving and piling in and asking for him and piling in from every street. And Jesus was talking to them and healing them. And it was chaos. We never even had time to prepare something to eat. Jesus realized what was happening and how exhausted we were, and he suggested we got away from it all, have some time to get our breath back. We thought we'd manage to slip away by boat across the lake, but somehow some people saw us and ran around to the other side, and when we got to the shore, there was a crowd waiting for us. My heart sank. I was so tired and absolutely starving. But Jesus said the verse from the book of Numbers, "They are just like sheep running about without a shepherd." He just got on with teaching them until it was almost too dark to see anymore. The same thing happened when we got on a boat and went to Gennesaret. There was a crowd waiting on the shore. Everywhere we went, towns, villages, out to the countryside, it was always the same. People begging him to heal their friends, their family, whoever they brought with them. Some of them even asked if they could just touch his cloak, and even they got better. It was an absolutely exhausting time, but I wouldn't have missed it for the world.
Did you catch in her voice that mixture of excitement and buzz and exhaustion? Well, none of us are exempt from having feelings like that. Even when, as in her situation, she was thrilled. And as she said, she would not have missed it for the world. The clamour, the noise, and all the frantic activity must have been overwhelming. When I was thinking about this, I stumbled across this saying. Quote, "Busyness is not a virtue," end of quote. And then I did my usual thing. I think, oh, I like that. I'm now going to see if I can find something else. So here are three more for you. If you want something done, ask the busy person to do it. Now, who said that? Anybody know who actually said it? Because it was a complete surprise to me. Does anybody actually know? No? Lucille Ball. Socrates said this. Beware the barrenness of a busy life. Mm. And this is my favourite. Crazy busy is a great armour. It's a great way for numbing us. What a lot of us do is stay so busy and so out in front of our own lives that the truth of how we're feeling and what we really need can't catch up with us. That's an American lady called Brené Brown, who I can thoroughly recommend for books. Now I'm going to do the reverse now, give you a couple of quotes about idleness. Idle hands are the devil's playthings. That was Benjamin Franklin. And an unnamed quote, for Satan always finds some mischief still for idle hands to do. I think everyone's got an opinion, haven't they, about busyness or resting. But business with busyness with all its attendant stresses is a very, very common problem. I'm guilty of it. I am so guilty of it. I always think if I can squeeze in just one more job, I'll get ahead. But that's so rarely true. I'm also guilty of saying this to myself. I'm not getting any younger. What a waste of time it would be to sew, read, dream, natter with friends, stare into space, when I may not have tomorrow. I don't think that's gloominess. I just think it's a stage of being. I end up going round in those ever-decreasing circles and then I'm wiped out for a week or so. So, in fact, I have lost time, not gained it at all. Now, there's a concept here, the concept of retreating to advance. I think that's quite counterintuitive, to be honest. And yet, when we're called to actively love others, how can we do that without exhausting ourselves? Well, Jesus is, of course, our very best example to emulate. But unlike him, we can't retreat to the desert. Phones, laptops, the TV scream at us daily. Give me attention, give me attention. They're worse than a toddler. They are seductive and lure us in. I do worry about our children and young people as they are constantly stimulated by whatever they see on their screen. Ask an adolescent or a child to sit for a few minutes without a screen and nothing to do. Well, they just don't know what to do with themselves. They're unfamiliar already with how to rest properly. If they can't relax now, how will they look after themselves in the future? I think we need to pray about that. Time pressure, of course, is not new. We've always had a problem with time, but I do think it's got much worse in recent years. Is anybody familiar with the Harry Potter sort of stories? When Hermione Granger is entrusted with a device that will turn back time so that she can attend more school lessons, she finds that having more time is not actually a solution at all. It just means that she's got to pack more into her days than ever before. If only I had more time, she says. But we never have more time. We only have now, the moment in which our lives unfold. So what can we do to find both rest and refreshment? How can we improve our rhythm of rushing and resting. Are you one of those people, a bit like me, who practices the art of boom or bust? Let's find a way. The stewards are now going to hand out paper, sheets of paper, which is at the back. Is somebody going to do that for me? And also hand out pens. Everybody please take one, unless you've got your own pens, of course. I'll wait for you to receive that. Do you want me to help? Give me some paper and I'll do some paper. I don't know why I'm whispering. I've got a microphone on. One for you. Do you want one? Yeah. There's two there, I think. Right, have we got any more paper floating around? Yep. Oh, no, you could do one each. No sharing of homework. Has everybody got... Have you got paper? Is there any more? Angela, need another one here, please. If you like. Has everybody got pen and paper? Yes. Okay. On your pen and on your paper, I would like you to draw a big circle and a dot in the middle. If you know how to draw a pie chart, please do that by marking wedges from your circle to represent different portions of your life, like sleep, work, looking after the family. It could be anything, but this whole thing represents 24 hours. So if you spend 24 hours sleeping... It's the whole thing. If you sleep for 8 hours, estimate what you think 8 hours might look like in a full circle. Can you please also help your neighbours? Yeah, that's right. So I want you to fill in the segments, how many hours a day, this is 24 hours. How many hours do you spend doing various things? And you just mark it in wedges. Yeah, so please help your neighbour if they're not quite sure. Take your time. Are we sort of there? Now, what I'd like you to do now is working in twos or threes. Chat about what each other has done. And help them to identify what their pattern looks like now. Yeah. No, it doesn't. So this represents 24 hours of the day.
Yeah.
And from the center point, if you can mark out the amount of hours you spend doing something. So, for example, that big wedge could be sleep. That could be shopping. And that could be reading the Bible, praying. That could be anything you like. Because we all have different... Next thing. What I would now like you to do is in your groups, is you need to be in a group. There's a lady behind you. Go where you like. In your groups, share what you've drawn out and try and work out a way of making it what you would like it to be. So if, say, you've only got 2 hours of sleeping, mums, 2 hours of sleeping, you'd like 8. Draw it, but ask your neighbour for ideas of how to make it happen. I want you to do just one more thing. Can you hear me? I want you to do just one more thing. Is think about everything you've just done and make a note of one thing that you're going to start tomorrow and that you're going to commit to try to do from then on. Has everyone had enough time? Lovely. Well, finding the right balance is really hard, isn't it? It's really, really hard. And finding the wherewithal to have a holiday, well, that's another matter entirely. But we all need one in some form or another. We need to try and choose to give ourselves a holiday space. In our own way. Remember that the disciples were probably absolutely terrified on the boat as it was being thrashed about by the storm. But do you remember what Jesus said to them? Take courage. I am here. And the calm fell over them and even over the sea. So if the sea can rest, so can we. Be it taking 5 minutes to sit on a bench in the park, be it 5 minutes listening to children playing, carve yourself some space, I beg you. Go for a walk and turn your phone off, or better still, leave it at home. If you are staying at home this summer, maybe look through your old photos for some happy memories of previous holidays that you've had. Find your own desert space, just like Jesus did. The greatest teacher of all showed us by example of how imperative it is to take a rest. How else can we listen to that still small voice of God? How can we argue about that? Dear God, help us now to be still and quiet. Just for a few moments now, to think about you. Amen. Jacqueline is now going to come and lead our prayers for others. You've dropped your paper, Jacqueline.
Let us pray. When I say, Lord, hear us, please respond by, Lord, graciously hear us. Lord Jesus, as we gather here together, we have so much to be thankful for and so much to ask of you. We pray for our minister Peter and his loving family who are having a much deserved rest and refreshment. Please bring them back safely to us, dear Lord. We pray for those of our church family who are unable to be with us today, some through many serious illnesses that they are going through. May they know your presence and be comforted. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for the bereaved family of our dear member, Jan Coe, wife of Ulf Coe. As the family mourn the loss of dear Jan, we pray that you will be near them and comfort them. We also pray for the loving family of Frank Martindale, husband of the late Joan Martindale. May they know your presence and be comforted in their loss. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. At this time of the year, Lord, some of our church family and our wider community will be away on holiday. However, there are many families here in our town of Haverhill who simply cannot afford to take their little children on holiday. Through the continuing generosity of our church family, by thought, word, or deed, we can help our local community in any way we are able to improve the lives of our local citizens. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for our government that the difficult decisions they made will be to the benefit of all. We remember all around the world the struggles that people each and every day struggle just to survive. With the security forces moving out of Afghanistan, the country has become very unsettled. We pray, Lord, that for the citizens who may be in danger, you will stand beside them in the face of the enemy. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We give thanks to you, Lord Jesus, for the coming together of all nations for the Olympics. It is not who wins the race, but it is the taking part that counts. Under your precious guidance, this applies to our lifetime on earth, as your commandment taught us always to love thy neighbour as I have loved you. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
O God, in your scripture, we read that you rested on the seventh day. And we read of Jesus' desire for his disciples to rest. As your followers, your disciples, now, and as we return to our very busy lives, may we know that the rest that you offer is there for us every day of the week. Amen.